Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our text for this, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, and we will read verses 33 through 46 in that chapter. It's Matthew 21, 33 to 46, where we read in the name of our Lord. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, once again we do thank you for your abundant goodness and grace. And Father, we're so thankful that we can always approach you seeking more of the same and realize, Father, that you will grant it. And Father, as you have given us the kingdom, that Father, so we would work in that kingdom to bring forth the fruits thereof, that we too, Father, would be found gracious and kind in imitation of your Son. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. This, of course, is another one of those cases where Jesus is speaking within a historical context, and it's very important to understand that. As he's addressing what's taking place in the Israel of his time, to recognize that now this is what's happening. There is a total misunderstanding of God and how God actually is. And this is fundamentally the problem that comes in when we introduce the concept of a self-made religious idea. The self-made religious idea, by its very nature, has no use for God. God is very different than the expectation of what we think of in religion, because God is way above us. And even as he moves amongst us, it's very hard for us to fully appreciate all that he does and the marvelous way that he does it. And when Jesus tells this parable, they recognize right away, well, he's talking about us. And that it is we who have done this. He says, throughout our history, Jesus is repeating their history because he's talking about the coming of the prophets and how they came and they tried to tell the people what God was really like. And he told them things like, you know, God doesn't really care much for sacrifice. Sacrifice really doesn't matter to God. It's compassion, it's mercy, it's love, it's grace that God really looks at. And you recognize that as Jesus is telling them this parable, they're recognizing kind of, well, yeah, this is about the prophets coming to his own people and realizing, well, yeah, they beat them and they killed them and they were terrible to them. And finally he says, well, then the householder, the guy who owns the house, he sends his son. And he says, well, certainly they'll pay attention to my son. My son, you know, who is the heir of all of this, they'll listen to him. But it says when they saw the son, they said, well, let's kill him. If we kill him, then we'll get the inheritance. And he says, so what do you think is to be done with those people? And of course, they respond the way that people normally do. Says, well, actually, you need to kill those people, you know, and take care of all that stuff, and then let out the vineyard to other people who will actually be faithful in taking care of the fruits and handing them in. And Jesus recognizes what's going on in relationship to this, because this is what he always does. Jesus is all about grace. He's all about grace. He's not seeking to bring anybody's destruction. And even the people that oppose him and want to kill him, he's not seeking to bring their destruction. He's seeking to save them. And he says, didn't you ever read in the scriptures what it says? And of course, here he quotes out of a psalm, and then he quotes out of Isaiah. He says, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. He says, that's become the cornerstone. And he says, from Isaiah, this is the Lord's doing. And he says, and it's marvelous in our eyes. In other words, it's shocking. It's astonishing. He says, so I'm telling you. He says, when you're smitten with your old religious self, he says, the kingdom will be taken from you. You're full of your old religious self, he says, the kingdom will be taken from you. And it will be given to people who will bring forth the fruit of the kingdom. And then he says this kind of enigmatic phrase. He says, whoever falls on the stone, and you remember that's what he said. He says, I'm going to be like a stumbling block. He says, whoever trips over me, whoever falls in offense to me, he says, will be broken. He says, in other words, they're going to suffer. He says, it's going to be a painful circumstance. He says, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And what he's talking about here is the eschatological, I shouldn't use that word, the tension between the final coming of Jesus and that final judgment. In the aspect of existence as it is present. He says, the person who is offended in me and falls over me, he says, that's going to be hard for them when they find out that I'm really the Messiah. He says, but the person who doesn't acknowledge me as the Messiah, he says, in the final judgment, that will destroy them. And this is all that he's doing, is he's sounding this wonderful warning. He never seeks the destruction of anyone. Because you recognize right away, he's going to die for these people. He's not just dying for the people that are faithful to him. He's dying for all of them. He's going to go to the cross for all of them. And the whole point that he's trying to get to is to break them of this stranglehold that this self-made religious idea has on them. He's trying to bring them to the end of that and get them to understand that now the kingdom is just freely given. It's freely given by grace. And God does exactly what he tells us to do. God loves his enemies. And God will give the life of his son for them. And you see, it says, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this, they understood, He's talking about us. They understood right away. And you recognize then, what did they want to do? Kill him. Kill him. They wanted to kill him. It says they were trying to find a way to do it, but they were scared of public opinion. Because there were people who thought he was a prophet. And you heard the words from St. Paul, what St. Paul says. He says, one time he says, I was caught up in all this kind of stuff. He says, I was a big, big part of all this kind of stuff. Now, I don't know how you treat manure. I'm not overly fond of it. St. Paul says, I count all of that stuff like manure. For the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. You see, what I want you to understand is this parable is not a threat. This parable is an announcement of a restoration. It is the reconciliation of God to humanity. That God knew what we were up to. He knew all along what we were up to. But God, in his infinite grace, chose to save us. He chose to save us. Because the Lord who spoke these words went to a cross. He went to a cross. And he suffered and died. And he shed his blood for the sins of the world. That we, by his grace, would freely approach him and receive of that abundant grace of God. And this was his only purpose. His only purpose was to save. That's what he came for. He sounded a warning to them to understand. You're going to be offended in me. But even if you're offended in me, it's going to hurt. But he says, but I'll save you. I will save you. But you see, if you don't come to me, then I can't save you. And the rock will destroy you. And as we read last week, God says, I don't want anybody to be destroyed. It's my desire that they would all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God says, I take delight in the death of no one. I don't want anyone to die. And that included these people that wanted to kill Jesus. God didn't want them to die. He wanted them to live. And this is the reality that he presents to us. He constantly presents us with this same reality. I don't want you to die. I want you to live. I want you to live. I want you to live in the fullness of understanding the gospel. I want you to realize the depth of the great love that I have for you, so that you would freely come to me, that you would just freely come to me. You see, it's we who construct the barriers for God, not God. Paul says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. He says he was doing this all in himself. He says he didn't present any barrier anymore. He says he took down everything. And he says, but Paul then says, so we're begging you, on behalf of Jesus Christ, he says, be reconciled to God. He says, come to God. Come to him. He doesn't have any barrier with you. You want to throw up your laundry list of your sins? God's going to look at you and say, you think that's something new to me? I know them all. I got them all. I got the whole catalog. My son died for every last one of them. So just get over here is what he says. Just come over here. See, it's we who have constructed the barrier, not God. God has no barrier. God says, you just come to me. You just come to me. The gospel is the most delicious, freeing thing that there is on the face of this earth. understand and we know that God freely receives us for Jesus' sake. Freely receives us. We don't come trying to impress God, because that's got to be even more of a ho-hum to God. God has probably seen that a bazillion times, to quote Bugs Bunny. But the fact of the matter is that when you come to this point, that God has seen all of this stuff. And loves us.
Thank you, God.
And is gracious to us. And he simply says, come to me. If you're heavy laden, he says, come to me. He says, come to me. I'll give you rest. See, what has happened in the world is the world has been deceived into thinking that somehow or another it has to perform some way for God in order to make God love it. Instead of understanding, as we quote so often, and if we don't quote it, at least today, we'll see it under an end zone in an end zone someplace. We'll see John 3:16. For God so loved the world. This is how God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave his only begotten Son for you and I. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. God gave his only begotten Son for you and for me. And he did it because he so loved us. And he never stops. He constantly loves us. And that's why we like it so much when we see the little kids read. You know, that's like the coolest thing ever. You know, we sit there and, you know, we're not a church of clapping. You know, we don't do that. So all of a sudden when the kids do that, then it's everybody claps, you know, which is cool. I mean, that's fine, you know, but we're not, you know, for crying out loud. We're like mostly out of Scandinavian extraction. We don't clap, you know. So, you know, so when the kids do that, it's like, oh, yeah, that's great. Well, just realize that's the same way God sees you. It's the same way he sees you and me. And he loves us. He loves us. In the depth of his being, he loves us. And every time that we acknowledge him, he just simply receives us. He receives us. And very kindly, he bestows upon us his grace. And he encourages us and he strengthens us. And he lets us know, you are indeed my own. You're my own. The kingdom has been given to you. My son purchased the kingdom for you. And you live in that kingdom. And you live in that peace. And you live by that gospel. And you live by that grace. And in every opportunity that you have, you just give it away. Give it away. Because you will never exhaust it. Because the more you try to give it away, the more you will receive. Because that's the point of his kingdom. And that's why he said this. He said, the kingdom of God will be taken from you. It will be given to those who bring forth its fruit, because that's its fruit. Where grace is bestowed, it bestows all the more. Even as St. Paul said, you know, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Don't be angry with the world. The world doesn't know what it's doing. The scripture tells us that. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They're just muddling along. That's all. The only thing that is effective in bringing any change in the world is God's grace. How did we ever come to that point? Wasn't it simply God's grace that opened our eyes, that gave us understanding? Isn't any different when anybody out there? The only thing that changes a human life is the grace of God. And you know what? It works every time. Hallelujah. It never fails. The grace of God works every time. And it's nice. You see, this is good stuff. And it's as easy as it gets. There's no barrier, no difficulty. There is no test to pass. There's just an invitation. And it says, come. Come. And freely receive. Because it's all for Jesus' sake. All for Jesus' sake. And that's why in this world, we are very, very blessed when, like St. Paul, we know the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And we find our place of rest in Him. And the peace of God that passes all understanding fills our hearts and our minds. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray.